podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Full-Time Reds with me, Gav and Kev for the LFC Day Trippers. Liverpool 3, Brentford 0 at Anfield this afternoon in the Premier League. It looked a little bit more like Liverpool today, I'm going to be honest with you, following the game against Arsenal in the Carabao Cup on Thursday. If you're watching here, you're very, very welcome. Make sure you hit the like button. Make sure you subscribe, share and all that stuff. And most importantly, comment as well. Kev, a few bits to get through in the next half an hour or so. And we will have a fatback four at 10 o'clock tonight. Myself, yourself, Davo and Shawnee, because Keith is at Anfield today. But a couple of bits to get through. Liverpool and non-Liverpool, I suppose. But that was a little bit more like Liverpool today, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a lot more control, but it was still frustrating at times. You know, at 0-0 was a bit frustrating because they were just so camped in. And the fear was, where's this chance going to come from? And I was delighted with the type of goals that we scored today, but more so with the set piece because of how we scored the first goal. And once the first goal went in, the game was always going to get easier because They were going to have to come out. They were going to have to come out and try and play it. And that in itself made it a lot easier for us. But I could understand people's frustrations for the first half hour or so. Because, I mean, as much as the lineup was, I felt was the right lineup, I felt it was the wrong shape. But look, that's after the fact. After 3-0, you can't really complain because we completely dominated the 90 minutes. You know, we had total control, really. It was our mistakes were giving them half chances. But other than that, they never really did anything. They never worked anything.
No, and that's probably coming off the bat. I think they're beating 4-1. Are they beating 4-1?
They were beating 4-1, but it wasn't a 4-1 kind of game.
Yeah.
It was. Deflected goal, an own goal, and they were chasing it, you know. But the last few results they've had have been 1-0s, 2-1s. Mm. You know, they've been close games, but they've been in all of them. And I think they lost 1-0 to Man City.
Yeah.
You know, so, and that's recently. They've been in games all the time.
Yeah. And, you
know? But,
we talk about the lineup really quickly because he goes with Trent, Matip, Van Dijk, and Robertson as his back four tonight. This afternoon, Henderson, Fabinho, Jones comes into midfield, which I think we were all kind of calling for that bit of forward momentum from a player. Oxlade-Chamberlain starts up front with Firmino and Jota. Minamino drops out there, and I like the look of the shape. I like the look of the shape actually, because I always thought that you might see Henderson sit a bit more and Jones push on, and with that packed defence. There's a bit more pace in Oxlade-Chamberlain. That's what I mean. Like, you know, it's a bit more of one where he is direct with it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we're not just leaving it up to Alex or Alexander-Arnold to be whipping everything in, although we've done really well today with a few good balls.
Some of the deliveries.
Good shot early on as well, if I remember. But I was happy with that side. I was happy with that side, and it was nice and strong. But like you say, the Brentford outlook was, they go two up front, but, you know, they always looked very far away from the rest of the side, didn't they?
Yeah,
they looked marooned kind of up there, and that's where we've struggled, Kev. You know, against teams that just sit in, they might leave one, maybe two up, but the other eight are just absolutely nailed on the 18 yard line, and they're not going nowhere else. And that's where we struggled. So to get that goal before half time was huge. But I thought we started well. I thought it was much brighter than Arsenal. It was just much brighter.
It was as if, remember what we were talking about after the Arsenal game was you had a lot of players recovering from COVID who hadn't played in a while and they needed the minutes. Well, it was clear that they needed the minutes and the payoff is how they responded today. The passing was better. I mean, yeah, there was a couple of slips in the passing at the back, out of the back from, I think Matip made one really bad one.
Yeah,
but
really
other than that, there was two or three, but in general, the passing, the accuracy of the passing was a lot better and the intent in the passing was better.
That's it.
It was the frustration for me. I mean, look, Brentford had their back five that were fixed. Rico Williams? Their left wing back, he went off late in, or halfway through second half. Can't remember his last name.
Oh, yeah, I got it for you now. Yeah,
but he is seriously quick, so I can understand not going down his side to try to take him on 1v1 because you're not going to get the better of him pace wise. But
Rico Henry,
yeah, he's seriously rapid, and I can understand not wanting to get involved in a foot race with him, but I'd like to have seen more of Trent pulling wider to stretch the pitch out. But you're nitpicking. I'm nitpicking at that. You know, it's the control that we got in out of midfield today was what we've built our last three years on.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as you lose it, you get it back, you win it back fast.
Isn't that the thing, though?
You recycle it and you go again.
If you, and this is probably, you know, off the back of Arsenal, although it was very disappointing, it's an interesting one to watch because against Arsenal, they sat in very much like Brentford did, but obviously they had 10 men after 24, 25 minutes, right? And we were talking about, you know, Minamino, Jota, Firmino, you know, they all want little passes here and there. The directness isn't there. And when Robertson and Alexander Arnold want to put one in the box, unless Firmino's in there, who's fairly decent in the air, the other two aren't. Yeah. Jota as well, but Jota was playing wide. But when we were losing to Arsenal, it was like, oh, we pass it here, we pass it. Whereas today I felt, like you said, the attitude was there. So even if we weren't on top form going forward, we were so intent on getting the ball back that nearly creates space for you anyway.
That was the hope that, look, at 0-0, if we're not going to get to break them down with incisive passing, that you turn over a ball quickly when they're trying to transition out of their defensive shape into an attack and you win it back and you can counter. That was my one thing. I thought that's a great way for us to be able to get into them. The other thing I liked was Jota and Bobby were closer together today. And
yes,
you know, one would go, one would stay, but in general, the two of them rotated that one position pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And Curtis played, yeah, he was lined up in midfield, but he wasn't really. It was more of an attacking left mid, you know, left center attacking mid would be.
But this is the thing, Kev, when you talk about that, as soon as you say that, all I think is overloading teams.
Yeah.
When you have somebody that's naturally, and that this is where Henderson, I think, has fallen down at times over the last while. He's lost the way because earlier on in the season, and Henderson played that position, he was making runs. He was, you know, he was pushing with the ball. Whereas in the last while, you've seen him getting in them positions and he's either hooking one in the box or he's just passing it. You need someone that's incisive in those positions. And when you get that, you get an overload. Right, and we've seen an awful lot with Wijnaldum when he played in that position because Wijnaldum used to play on that side, and what he'd do was he'd make darting runs. He mightn't get it, but he'd make a darting run. He'd come back out. He'd get it. He'd move it a bit. He'd come back out, and what it does is it frees up and it overloads them. And you need that massively when you have literally five at the back and three in midfield. You know what I mean? That are just sitting there, and I think that's why me and you and others were calling for Curtis Jones to play today.
Yeah, I think, look, I like Curtis anyway. I think he's got a bright, bright future. He's a very good footballer. The more games he plays, the more confidence he's going to get. He's got a swagger about him that, you know, I like his confidence. And you saw it a lot today where he was willing to take someone, even on your own halfway line. I suppose you can pick and choose your areas where you want to do it because he lost it once or twice in a couple of bad areas. But it didn't deter him from doing it again.
Yeah.
And that's what you miss in midfield. That, like, Thiago gives you that. Naby gives you that, you know, that energy, that drive, forward thinking to create and make something happen.
It's about balance, though.
Work. Yeah.
It's about balance, Kev, because
you have to have the other two to do that.
Yeah. But if you have Fabinho, we've said it before, Fabinho protects. Thiago is the one that controls. And what I mean by controls is he does lose the ball, there's no doubt about that. But he hits passes where it just takes two or three men out of it. And I'm not talking in around the box, I'm talking deep in air half. You can take two or three players out and Alexander Arnold's gone. And what that does is it lets the guy on the right of the tree go, I can go here. I can actually go here. And if he hits the right pass, I'm literally another extra man breaking into the box here. And that's the whole idea around it.
Yeah, you create 4v3s.
Exactly. You overload all the time. If you have the control, you have the protection, and then you have somebody that's willing to be that bit incisive. And I think we've seen it more today, particularly in Curtis Jones, but I think the inclusion of Oxlade-Chamberlain was one where you go, yeah, that makes sense, because you're adding something on the right-hand side where we're not going to fall into the default of letting Trent get the ball 30 yards from goal or 35 and start putting her in the box. Even if you have Firmino and Jota closer to each other.
Yeah,
we're going to get a guy out there that's willing to run, dribble, get to the end line, wherever it might be, or hit a good pass, you know, and Ox is capable of all them things. You know, yeah. I think even the inclusion there, whether he plays a brilliant game or not, he thought he was okay, Ox, and we'll talk about his goal in a minute. But it's another thing in Brentford's mind, because if they go with Minamino and Jota's out on that right-hand side, Jota's looking to get in the box. So what they're going to do is they're going to give it to Alexander, let Alexander-Arnold have it. And as you said, he's not going to outrun that guy down the left. So he's going to be resorted to putting her in the box. So I thought the selection was a good one. How crucial was it to get that goal? Because we had a few sighters. I think Jota has a header, Matip has one, Trent has a shot.
Matip has another scuffed shot as well.
Yeah, there's a couple around, and you think, and I am kind of thinking getting to 40, 41, 42, that, you know, I was dreading half time because I thought we were well in control, but you know how teams come out in the second half and they go, really have to protect it now.
Yeah.
And they'd even go, they take a forward up and put another midfielder on. You know, it was a crucial goal, wasn't it? And Fabinho on the score sheet again, Kev.
Fabinho on the score sheet, but in the stream that the place where I was watching the game, they analysed the goal, and they analysed it brilliantly. The goal was really made by Jordan Henderson at the front post, because we had a lot of corners in that first half, and Trent was hitting the first man. But the first man, that was his job. Ivan Toney was their front post man, and it was his job to read the corner, get his head on it, get something on it, and clear it.
Yeah.
But what Henderson did is Henderson pinned him. So Henderson didn't allow him to get that run out of the front post, which allowed Trent to whip the ball in, created havoc, and it went to the back post. And there you go. That's where the goal came from. But it was through Henderson, because that's not training ground. That's Henderson seeing something in their corners. Look, if I go and stand here, I can stop him from making a run. I can stop Toney from making a run and clearing the ball.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it's not something that he would have been told to do. It's something that he'd have done off his own back to try it and see what happened. And luckily for us, it went to the back side. And in fairness, Fabinho is 6'1", 2". He should be getting more goals from set pieces. It was a good goal, and it was vital.
Great time.
In the course
great
of the game, it was vital.
Few shouts for Keith Plunkett. He said, David Walsh says you should send Keith Plunkett over more often. And James Martin says, I've just seen Keith buying merch outside the ground. Good vibes. Keith's over there. It was his son's first ever game at Anfield. So we're absolutely delighted for him that he gets a 3-0 win to burn the ears off his dad on the way home about. So that's obviously good. Graham McGarty says, anyone else getting bored with the shit songs and lack of originality from away fans in general? Can't remember the last song I heard from an away team about their own team. Yeah, listen, that's what they are. They're all obsessed with Liverpool Football Club. Even when they come to play Liverpool, and you know, that's one of Brentford's biggest away games in how long in the league.
They'd have been promoted and saying, right, let's the away days that they're talking off, Anfield, Old Trafford, Villa Park,
the Emirates, you know, wherever it might be.
Yeah. You know, Anfield and Old Trafford are the two biggest away days for every side in the league. Don't let anyone tell you any different.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially promoted sides. You know what I mean? If you're a Brentford fan, can you imagine what you've followed your club for however many years, you're finally into the big time and you're going away to Anfield. All you want is, you know, a performance. Whether you get something or not, odds are you're not.
Yeah.
You just want to be able to come away from the day able to talk about something.
Yeah.
And they can't. They have nothing to talk about.
I remember being at Anfield's 1920 season, first day, Friday night against Norwich. I think they had on.
That was Norwich, yeah.
And they were great.
Yeah,
they were great. Sang their own songs.
They had a great goal, didn't they?
Yeah, they had. Yeah, no, they were 4-0 down at half time or something.
Yeah,
but the fans were good that night. But I've been to Anfield loads of times, and all you can hear from the team is just singing about Liverpool and is this a library, all this sort of stuff. But people need to realise that Liverpool are very patient with their team. And someone said it in the chat earlier, really patient from the crowd today, considering Thursday night. And Liverpool are patient and. You know, I think people come expecting, there's no ground in the world where it's constant noise from one start to the end. Just not. But to be that obsessed is fucking mad. But yeah, it's a big goal, and he does well with the header to get the nod on
he
it,
does,
and get it in because he's at the back post and
he's
kind of stretching a bit backwards a bit from what I can remember because I didn't even see a replay. But it's 1-0 at half time, and you're thinking, yes, yeah. I'm delighted with that because even if it means that they're coming out to play the same game as they have, I'm good with that because Liverpool are really good. I just didn't want them getting 45 minutes under their belt where, you know, oh, we've survived that.
They have something to hold on.
Let's double down. Second half. Sorry, Van Dijk had a chance as well in that first half. You're right. Somebody said that. I just wanted to mention that Van Dijk did have one. I think Tony was on the line for that one, wasn't he?
Oh, that was a shot. Yeah, it was cleared off. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think it might have been Tony. But anyway, our 1-0 half time. As I said, crucial goal. We go into the second half, and Kev, what we want to see from Liverpool in the second half is more of the same. You know, because as much as they might keep it the same, they might think they might drop off a little bit because of that goal. You know the way teams think about what the reaction of others will be as much as themselves.
It's first 10 minutes. It's first 10 minutes of the second half. You just want to come out and just almost turn around and say, not today.
Exactly.
You know, whatever you thought you were doing at halftime, you're not having it. And, you know, once you get through that first five minute spell of an onslaught, if it comes, get through that and you're okay.
And we did. We dominated early the second half. Look, I think Jota has a shot. Then they bring on Canos, don't they, fairly early in the second half.
Canos came
on early. Sergi Canos. For Rico Henry.
For Rico Henry,
But I know, Jota has a chance. It's a decent shot. But Liverpool are kind of on top, and then there's a kind of a lull. Then there's that chance for then Brentford have a little bit of a sniff as well. Do you know what I mean? Around the arrow mark.
It was a turn and shot that went wide, wasn't it? But Alisson pretty much read
where he was going.
The striker was falling away. He could only go that side, and Alisson was already there.
Yeah.
So he had it pretty much covered. But at the same time, it's like, at that stage, then you look, just get a second, and we can relax. Because at 1-0, and in fairness, we haven't, like I've said over the last few streams, we haven't been in the best of form. So at 1-0, they're always in the game. You know, whether we like it or not, all it takes is one bad pass, one turnover, and you're creating a run for your own back. But then with the cross from Robbo for the second one.
Well, that's the thing, because just before the second one, Jota has a good chance. About 2 minutes before it. And I wanted the second one badly, because even though we're in control, you want that second one. You want that cushion just in case anyone makes a slip or whatever it might be. Jota gets a chance. Keeper does well, in fairness. But then 2 minutes, 3 minutes later, Oxlade-Chamberlain makes it 2-0, and it's a great ball from Robertson. And it's a good finish from Oxlade-Chamberlain, I have to say.
It was a great finish under pressure. I love a diving header anyway. Mm. But that's the kind of a run that a midfielder makes. That's the kind of run that Ox would make if he was playing in midfield.
Yeah.
You know, getting in to make the extra man around the far post. It was a great cross. The goal was made by the cross. It made it that much easier. Because
makes his mind up for it.
Yeah, Chamberlain never really had and you can tell the difference between that goal and one when you guys get home and you watch the highlights of the Leeds West Ham game, and you watch the right at the death of the West Ham game, Jarrod Bowen had almost an identical chance, and he went with his chest. If he goes with his head, he scores. But Ox went with the head, diving header, great finish, and that was game, set, and match. For the work that he put into that game, it doesn't go. It's not the flashy work, and because he's playing in most position, he'll never get the kind of credit that he deserves for it. But he worked hard today.
Yeah,
you know, not everything that he did came off, but that run was made. That run he probably made half a dozen times in a game.
Yeah, and
that was the one that paid off. It was brilliant.
Do you know what? It does. It wraps it up, and it gives a chance for Liverpool to make substitutions as well.
Yeah.
You know, because the game is quite safe, and you know, you see we see, of course, Minamino come on. Yeah, he's. I'm just looking her up what minute it was because I thought it was about 80.
Was 75.
I thought it was 80, right? And I'm actually looking back and going, no, couldn't have been. Sure, he scored in the 77th. I felt, for some reason, when Minamino scores, I felt like there's only 5 minutes left. You know, it was just that much had gone on. Yeah. But no, look, Oxlade-Chamberlain goes off. Minamino comes on.
Like he rolled his ankle, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. And do you know what? I'd hate him to miss something because you're right in what you're saying. He won't get many plaudits for what he's doing on that side of the pitch. Now, we're not telling him Oxlade-Chamberlain is the best thing since sliced bread because of this performance. No. But you're looking for any positives you can through this period where we're missing two of our front men. Where a guy comes on, plays up front, you know, wide, gets a fucking goal. And you're like, do you know what? Yeah. If that kicks him on for his former side on Thursday, or it's Palace, isn't it, on the Sunday then, you know, that's a big thing. And I'm just hoping that it was just a precaution. Take him off. And
well, Garmack in the chat is saying Klopp said it's nothing serious. So.
Okay. So it's just a little bit, hopefully a day's rest.
Similar to what Robertson had going off injured again in the against Shrewsbury.
Yeah.
With that late tackle. Hopefully it's just, you know, a bit of a roll. You know, felt it a bit late on in the game. No need to take any chances and no need to risk him with it.
Absolutely. The Anfield Unbearable says Trent on double number assists in January. Unbelievable. Just a quick one on that. The Anfield Unbearable is friends of ours. It's Ben, it's Barry, and it's Marty. That's a new YouTube channel that is starting up. Liverpool related. The lads used to be involved with
Rivalry aside.
And they've gone out on their own to their own Liverpool stuff. So make sure to go and check them out. Type in the Anfield Unbearables. There's no content on their channel yet because they're putting a lot of work into it. I was speaking to one of them the other day. So they're trying to get everything right before they bring it to you. But go and check them out. Three really nice lads and they're worth listening to. It's very like what we do. We just talk, we have opinions, we get on with it. So go and check out the Anfield Unbearables on YouTube and they will have some content coming your way soon. I wanted to give you that show. And thanks for putting in that message or that chat so I would have remembered. but Minamino makes a three and you know the game is up and Brentford are trying to play out from the back and do fucking different things. Firmino does well, sets him up, he gets a tap in and it doesn't take away from his miss on Thursday night, but it kind of puts it to bed a little bit. Look, he's got a goal. We've won 3-0. We move on.
Yeah. One for the birthday boy. 27 years of age now. So he's at that stage in his career where, you know, if he wants regular football, honestly, he's going to have to look at a move. But he's doing himself no harm by coming off the bench and impacting games. And he was buzzing around the place for the last, you know, 15 minutes or so, pressing the ball well and creating half chances. And I'm happy for him because he is a tidy footballer and he should be, he would do a good job somewhere. You know, it might not be, look, at the top end of a top league, but I was delighted for him. And because of the goal as well, it was almost like a training ground goal. No, you finish it. I'll have it. Go on. And that was almost like a take the piss kind of goal.
Yeah.
But it was the icing on the cake for the performance because it deserved that kind of a finish.
It put a reflection on it. That was fair.
It did, yeah. It was very comfortable. You know, it was a very dominant performance.
And the thing is, like, Jota isn't bad in the game, I don't think.
No.
He's fairly lively. Bobby looks like he's back fully fit and he gets that assist. You know, Minamino gets a goal. Chamberlain gets a goal. But I want to talk about Cade Gordon because Cade Gordon comes on and he should score.
He should score. It was on his right foot. I was screaming, just take a pass, keeper. Knock it past him. He's already made up his mind what he's doing.
Yeah.
Just chip it past him and slot it in. And there you go. Into the cop.
Yeah.
On your Premier League debut. It was. Yeah. I was desperate for him to score.
Yeah.
But more than anything, I was desperate for him to get the chance. And the composure he showed going one-on-one when he had the chance bodes well for the future. He was lively when he came on. There was a bit late on as well when he fouled one of the Brentford players. I was like, yeah, go on then. Yeah. You know, that shows a bit of bottle and a bit of balls as well, that he's not afraid to put his foot in when it needs to be put in. Yeah. But I was desperate for him to score.
How significant is it that he comes on? Now, I know he's making changes up front. I get that. You know, he brings off Oxlade-Chamberlain. He brings off Jota, and Milner comes on for Firmino. But how significant is it? I know they're three up, I think. He's still bringing him on, Kev. Still a Premier League game, and he's still bringing him on. He could have brought on someone else off that bench to just give them time, looking forward to maybe Thursday or maybe needing them in the next league game or two.
Well, one thing I've noticed about Klopp in the last 5 years, right, is he doesn't give out appearances for the sake of it. He doesn't just hand people games off the cuff in the league. You know, he's more often than not been... He's done it in Europe as well, where he's played stronger sides than he should have. Mm. So when it comes to him making a change, I'm glad he made it because it was the right decision and it was the right thing to do. But you have to show this kid that there is a pathway through for him in the near future, because like Jude Bellingham and other players of that age, they are anxious to play first team football. So you have to show that, look, in 12 months time, 18 months time, when you're 19 turning 20, you will be a mainstay in the first team squad pushing for a starting place. And we will still be challenging for top honours. And you will be key to that for the foreseeable. So you have to start somewhere. Yeah. And today, that was an ideal game to bring him on. And this is the season I really wish we had five subs, mainly for him.
Yeah. Or the likes of him.
Yeah, for him, Morton, and one or two others. Mm-hmm. But mainly for him, that he's... He gets valuable minutes and experience, because the more he plays against first-team Premier League footballers, the more he'll know what he has to do and how he has to improve and where he has to improve in his game and what he can and can't get away with comparing from under-23 football to first-team senior football. Because they're two different games.
Yeah, they're light years, they're miles away from each other. Aiden 91 says it doesn't feel significant, more about rest for Thursday. Yeah, but just to give him 10 minutes, like somebody says there, good to see him getting 10 minutes rather than the usual two.
He could have brought on Nico Williams.
I think it was Emma said that. He could have put Nico Williams on there if he wanted to give Trent a rest on Thursday, say, for argument's sake, just to give him 10 minutes. But he brings him on. Gordon done well when he came on, says Delwyn. Owen says he'd start him on Thursday. Don't risk Ox if there's any doubt and give him the chance. The Wonky Donkey says after Gorgon committed the foul Kev was on about, he gave the official a never a foul ref rap when running back and all, ballsy from the young fella, which is good.
Love it.
Ox putting the game to bed was the moment of the match for me. It would have been fantastic if Kev scored that. It would have been. And Delwyn says, I wish Gordon scored that. Unlucky though. Very talented. Archie Doolan, just going back on Trent. Since 2018-19 season, the top three assists in Europe are Muller, Messi and Trent. So there you go. He's in there.
Christ.
Yeah.
When you look at it, Muller's assisting for Lewandowski. So, I mean, Robert Lewandowski
around the German league. Machine. Messi's the best player you've ever seen. And Trent, still, people still think he's not that fucking good, which is absolutely sensational.
Not good enough to play right back for England, apparently.
Okay, two things before we go. Firstly, man of the match.
This might change again later, but from the bits I've seen of it so far, Fabinho, I thought he was absolutely fucking immense in midfield today. He was just... He attracted everything. He was just a walking machine, breaking stuff up. It was brilliant today. I really enjoyed him.
Snap. I think it's Fabinho as well. I think Robertson played well, but I think Fabinho was just everywhere. And when we look,
Henderson was a lot better.
He was a lot better, but
I think there's more to go for him.
Yeah, but you know, with Fabinho, he nearly sets the tempo for me.
Yeah.
He nearly sets it, and I think that's a lot of show for man of the match. Rafa Benitez has been sacked by Everton. We're going to talk about it a bit more later on, but Rafa Benitez sacked by Everton. They're all over the shop, Kev. Like this is a guy that's come in. They were shy. He came in. He's been given fuck all to spend, bar two yeah. young fullbacks that he signed the last 2 weeks. He signed Demary Gray, which has done really well for them.
1.5 million.
Yeah, he's signed Andros Townsend.
Andros Townsend, yeah. I keep getting those two mixed up.
Andros Townsend on a free, and the guy up front that he brought in on an emergency for me.
Rondon.
Because Calvert-Lewin. But where did he go from this, Kev?
I'll tell you what, don't answer that.
I'll put that to you later at 10 o'clock. Are you surprised or do you think it's the right decision? That's all I'll ask you, and we'll cover it more at 10 o'clock tonight.
I'm surprised because they sold Digne 3 days ago on the strength of what Digne believed was his position in the squad because of Rafa.
Uh-huh.
And they allowed him to go. Uh-huh. For good money at the same time, and then 3 days later they sacked the guy who was the perceived problem.
Yeah,
that just shows me that they haven't got a clue what's going on.
After they're getting rid of Michael Brandt or whatever his name is.
After getting rid of Brandt, which was the right thing to do because he's just been buying dross.
Yeah, but they've let Rafa shake things up over the last four or five months, and now they're just getting rid of him.
It's pure, total, 100% fan pressure.
Yeah.
That's got him out because... Yeah.
But if they go the other way, Kev, if they go the other way and they say, right, listen, we're bringing in Graham Parr, just for argument's sake,
which he
should be forced on the list, by the way, right?
Yeah.
In my opinion, if they want to play decent football. But if they come out and say and make a very strong statement to say, we're bringing in Graham Potter, what we're expecting from Graham Potter is to bring in more youthful players, more, you know, exciting players, this type of football. It's going to take fucking 3 years. Pipe up or pipe down and give a fucking over and leave us to it, right? They won't accept that.
No. There's a mini version
of Manchester United who give lip service to a rebuild and bringing on players for the future and absolutely detest it at the same time.
But I see this from people I follow online who are Everton fans, and they still think they're a big club. They're a historic club. They're not a big club. There's a big difference between the two. Manchester United are a big global brand. There are some very big historic clubs in the Premier League and the Championship. But those are historic clubs. They're not a big club. They're a small club with a very small time mentality that if you brought in an owner with loads of money and said, look, throw loads of money at it and it guarantees success, it doesn't. It's so easy to spend money in football and badly do it.
They've done it.
There's plenty of clubs around there.
Emma says Rafa being used as a scapegoat. They never wanted him, riddled with injuries and COVID issues. They were also always going to get rid of him the first chance they got. Rooney is on the list, apparently. That'll be the most romantic thing they'll do. And romanticism doesn't work when you're appointing a manager. It just doesn't. Although he's doing a fantastic job at Derby.
He's doing a great job at Derby.
I looked it up yesterday. Without the 21 points deduction, Derby would be 5 points off the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they've been hammered with players having to go and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
He's doing a brilliant job, but
he's light years away from what
Premier League management. Yeah.
We'll talk about it later.
We'll talk about it more detail at 10 o'clock tonight. I definitely know Davo and Sean will have something to say on it.
Oh yeah.
But I've seen shouts to just give it to Dunk because he knows what the club are about. Okay, do what you want. It's fucking madness. But
they say it couldn't get any worse. It can.
Yeah.
And it really can.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so they've got to be really careful that they're not dragged in.
They're only about 6 points off the bottom three now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm convinced after watching Newcastle yesterday, even falling away with a draw, but I'm convinced that they will be safe.
Yeah.
Yeah,
look, it's one of those where we are coming back at 10 o'clock. Myself, Kev, Shawnee and Davo. Keith is in at Anfield, was watching Liverpool today. So was Andy, actually. That's it. 3-0. We will be back at 10. Don't forget, we're on 99 likes. Ah, come on. There's 219.
You have to get 100, lads, before we can go.
Yeah,
come on,
hit the like button. 219 watching, 99 likes. Please like, please share, please subscribe. But most of all, comment and get involved in the chat. As I said, 40 shows per month live on YouTube, and then across all, same shows all across your podcast apps, absolutely free. So the only thing we ask is when you come on, hit the like button, maybe share it to your social media, subscribe if you haven't already, but most importantly, get involved in the chat, because, and the comments afterwards, we read all them as well. So that's all we're at. The only support we ask for is just you hitting, clicking a few buttons every time we come live, which is every fucking 4 hours at this stage. No, look, that's being us. That's being the full-time Reds. Liverpool 3, Brentford 0. Thanks to everyone in the chat. Thanks to Kev. It's a good 3 points for Liverpool. Pushes them clear in second place and doesn't keep pressure on Man City, but we haven't made that mistake yet, because the next mistake is massive. One more mistake from Liverpool, it's done. One mistake from City, and we have a squeak.
We're back to the countdown then.
Exactly. We've shot up in the likes there as well. Fair play to you. Well done, lads. So 10 o'clock. Ladies. Don't forget, check us out, the Fatback 4. We'll have that set up in the next couple of hours, so you'll see it there appearing on our feed on YouTube. All right. 3-0 the Reds. Talk to you in a bit. Over and out. Sports Social Podcast Network.